RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia will not import rice any longer. Lawmaker calls on minister to accelerate gas pipeline development. Bank Indonesia affirmed foreign exchange reserve declines against rupiah stabilization. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman has expressed hope that domestic farm products will be able to meet national needs and that the country will no longer need to import farm commodities in the future. He noted as the Tabanan District government had continued to step up the development of its agricultural sector, the district had managed to meet local people's food needs and improve farmers' living standards. Minister Sulaiman also expressed hope that farmers would always be enthusiastic and consistent in developing the agriculture sector as a means to earn a living, as well as to motivate younger generations to strive towards improving the industry. He affirmed that this way the district, which is known as the Rice Belt of Bali province, will be able to take optimum advantage of huge potential, the agriculture chapter presents. Moreover, district head of Tabanan, Niputu Eka Wiryastuti, in her address read out by District Secretary Inyoman Wirna, Hariwansa stated that despite being the rice plant of the province, Tabanan still faces constraints and obstacles related to infrastructure development and that it still needed assistance from the central government. Kardaya Warnika, the chair of the House of Representatives Commissioned 7 Overseeing Energy and Mineral Resources, asked the East Kalimantan Administration to develop gas pipelines to cities and regions in the province. The pipeline development is possible since the provincial administration will acquire participating interest in Mahakam Block. Kardaya explained the gas pipeline would allow the people in East Kalimantan to save more money than when using 3 kg or 12 kg LPG canisters. Kardaya added that cities in ASEAN countries such as Myanmar, Thailand, Malaysia had built gas pipelines for public housing. Kardaya also pointed out that East Kalimantan should be used as a pilot project for the gas pipeline development. A similar project would be applied in other provinces. Therefore, Kardaya said he would call on Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said to realize the planned gas pipeline development in East Kalimantan. The ministry will be asked to prepare the budget for the project so it can be set in motion in 2016. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo has admitted that efforts to stabilize the rupiah exchange rate were one of the causes of the $3.9 billion decline in the country's foreign exchange reserve in March. Governor Agus said the government had been obliged to enact the measures as the U.S. Federal Reserve Fed had not yet increased its fund rate and this had made the fluctuation of rupiah against U.S. dollar better in the last several weeks, better than the previous periods. At the end of March, Indonesian foreign exchange reserve was recorded to have declined by $3.9 billion, around 50.7 trillion rupiah. Although decline in Indonesian foreign exchange reserve as of the end of March was enough to pay 6.9 months of imports or to finance 6.6 months of import on top of the government foreign debt payments, the current foreign exchange reserve is above the international adequate standard of around 3 months of imports. A series of fuel price hikes has led to economic instability which affects the people. This was stated by Siska Marlini, a member of the Regional Representative Council DPD. She pointed out that the fuel price hikes have led to economic instability and burdened the public. As a result, the purchasing power of the public falls and social problems emerge, she said as quoted by Antara News Agency. She noted that any time the government raised fuel prices, the public always become victims. The fuel price hike led to a rise in the prices of goods while the income of the public remained. While there would be new equilibrium in the economy, it took time to achieve it while the prices of basic necessity increased all at once, she said. She added the government's program including the Indonesian Health Card or KIS, Prosperous Family Card, KKS, and Indonesian Smart Card gift would help low-income people if they were implemented properly. On March 28, 2015, the government raised the price of premium gasoline to 7,300 from 6,800 a liter and the price of diesel oil to 6,900 from 6,400 rupiah a liter. Jakarta Composite Index JCI weakened slightly in the Friday's final trading session and the foreign stock market players continued to carry out selling actions. The JCI weakened by 9.56 points or 0.70% to 5,491.34, while the index of the 45 most lucky stock was down by 2.67 points or 0.28% to 953.21. PT Universal Broker Indonesia head of research Satrio Utomo said as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Friday. After it strengthened for a moment at the beginning of the Indonesian stock market, IDX trading section this morning, the index later reserved to the negative area until the closing of the market's trading session. Satri also says some investors were still waiting for economic data, including Bank Indonesian rate and Indonesian trade balance, to be released next week. As Jaya Indosuria security analyst William Surya Wijaya said that in general, GCI was still on the strengthening trend. The current corrections could be taken as an opportunity to carry out buying accumulations. JCI still has the potential to strengthen further and to reach a new record again. Moreover, domestic economic situation is still quite good. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Trade Minister Ahmad Gobel slated to hear the Balinese opinion of ban on Saturday, according to a trade minister regulation issued in January. Beverage with an alcohol content of 1-5% can only be sold in supermarkets and hypermarkets. Thus, mini market, food stalls, street vendors, and beachside vendors will no longer be allowed to sell beer or other beverage with an alcohol content of between 1-5%. They are already banned from selling stronger drinks. The new policy, which takes effect April 16, has met with opposition in Bali. The chairman of Alkoholic Beverage Type A Distributors Association Bali, Frendi Karmana, said that Bali should be exempt from the policy. Frendi explained that currently there were about 10,000 beer retailers across the island, mostly in tourist areas in southern Bali. The retailers fall under 8 distributor companies. Bali Industrial and Trade Agency head Niwayan Kusumawati said on Friday that the agency had conveyed Bali's aspiration to the trade ministry. Responding to the aspirations, he said Trade Minister Rama Gobel would come to Bali on Saturday and offer an opportunity for people to talk over the matter. Following two private water companies, the central government has decided to file an appeal against Central Jakarta District Court ruling that they cancel the privatization of water in the capital city. Central Jakarta District Court spokesperson Bambang Kustopo said on Friday that beside PT Pumped, Leonasi Jaya, Walija and PT Air Aetra Jakarta Aetra, the President, Vice President, Finance Minister and Public Works and Public Housing Minister had also filed an appeal. Last month, judges at the Central Jakarta District Court ruled in favor of the Coalition of Jakarta Resident Opposition Water Privatization, KMMSAJ. ordering the annulment of cooperation between city-owned Pam Jaya and the two private water operators that began in 1997 and was set to expire in 2023. The lawsuit was filed with the court in March 2013. Attorney General Office spokesperson Tony Spontana confirmed that his office had proposed an appeal against the ruling. KMMSAJ lawyer Arif Maulana expressed his disappointment about the central government's moves to appeal. Separately, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that the city administration and Pam Jaya would not file an appeal. He said the city administration's plan to acquire the shares was also to speed up the process. However, the acquisition cannot be executed because of ongoing legal process. The last item, Indonesian Football Association, PSSI, has filed a report on the temporary suspension of Indonesian Super League ISL competition to the World Football Federation, FIFA. PSSI Chairman Johar Arifin Hussein said that FIFA has asked the competition to be resumed with 18 clubs as initially proposed. Previously, PSSI decided to hold the ISL, which was supposed to start on April 12, 2015. The decision came after the Indonesian professional sport agency BOFI threatened to sue PSSI if it insists on continuing the league. BOFI cited that two out of the 18 clubs scheduled to participate in the competition were having administration issues, namely Arema Kronus and Persebaya Surabaya. On the other hand, Johar argued that the two clubs had fulfilled BOFI requirements, including administration and tax requirements. Johar said that FIFA recommended that all clubs must not quit the league. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Some important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pane. We begin with the editorial of Kompas newspaper. It writes, "Deciding police chief." President Joko Widodo, on Monday, finally met with the leadership of the House of Representatives to discuss the nomination of the chief of police of the Republic of Indonesia. House leaders could accept the explanation why the president cannot inaugurate Commissioner General Budi Gunawan as chief of police. In fact, Budi Gunawan has passed the feasibility test and a decision by the Commission 3 of the House of Representatives. The president decided not to induct Budi Gunawan for juridical and sociological reasons. According to Kompas, the nation's energy has been depleted to Budi Gunawan's case. Therefore, Kompas suggests the legal and political complexity are immediately terminated. All parties expect the vacancy for chief of police position is immediately filled, including the position of deputy chief of the police. Allowing police with over 400,000 personnel without leadership is not a wise move and will only lead to uncertainty that is prone to be politicized. According to Kompas, anyone who leads the national police in the future, the spirit to fight corruption, enforce the law in good faith, and protect the public must remain a major task. Public wait for the parliament to end this uncertainty situation. The next review is from Media Indonesia. The newspaper, in its review, writes, "The president should not miss again." As a nation and state, no one denies that Indonesia is a big state and a nation. Its greatness as a nation, at least recognized from its population of about 250 million, a large geographical area, and a rich cultural diversity. Its greatness from the side as a country can be seen from its government that is both modern and constantly trying to perfect the system of management on the interests of the community. Continuously improve the governance should also be enhanced. However, the idealism of its state apparatus for the nation has gone when state officials winning demanding facilities for the region for smooth functions as state officials. As a result of the facilities requires, the actions of throwing one each other happens, and push the issuance of Presidential Decree No. 39 of 2015 on raising the advance purchase of official cars. The presidential regulation gets harsh condemnation from various parties, as it happens in the middle of people's efforts to tighten belts due to the high price of fuel, oil, and gas. The president admitted he was cheated because he signed the legislation which was not in line with the spirit of his administration. Jokowi said there were many reports that he received every day, so the contents of the presidential regulation escaped from his attention. Therefore, the president ordered the Ministry of the Secretary of State to revoke the presidential regulation. However, Media Indonesia reminded the state officials to do not ever repeat the gratuitous action to manage the country. We conclude press review from Koran Sindo. This daily writes, investor hunts electricity. Investors to invest in the electricity sector inhale fresh air since the electricity demand in the country continues to rise in the past 5 years. No half-hearted. The government under the leadership of President Joko Widodo has set power development to the capacity of as much as 35,000 megawatts in the next 5 years. The request for the investment license in the sector from both foreign investors and domestic in the period of January to March 2015 has penetrated 119.45 trillion rupiahs. Similarly, the most recent data published by the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, a total of 12 companies from abroad who are interested in the electricity sector is dominated by three countries, namely Japan, China, and Singapore, with a total investment of $8.94 billion or 116 trillion rupiahs in 15 projects. Meanwhile, domestic investors aiming at 17 projects with a total investment of 3.45 trillion rupiahs. Looking at the high investors' interest in the electricity sector, it is actually the beginning of the hard work for the government, especially for creating a conducive situation related to coordination of the government agencies. According to Koran Sindo, during this time, there are three key problems that always make investors wait and see. They are permits, land acquisition, and government regulations, which are often unfriendly to investors. Supposedly, these problems do not need to arise if the Program Implementation Unit of the National Electricity Development work optimally by synergizing all relevant stakeholders. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on April 11, 1919, when the International Labour Organization was founded. The International Labour Organization, ILO, is a United Nations agency dealing with labour issues, particularly international labour standards, social protection, and work opportunities for all. 185 of the 193 UN member states are members of the ILO. ILO was founded on April 11, 1919 as League of Nations Agencies after Versailles Treaty, which ended the World War I. ILO, which is mentioned as the World Labour Organization, has a task to increase standard of international labour living. In the development, in 1945, ILO becomes Special Agency of the United Nations. This organization becomes part of the United Nations after the United League's dismissed and the form of the United Nations in the World War II. International Labour Organization is headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland, and its secretariat is known as International Labour Office. And the next event was in 1950 when Douglas MacArthur was removed from command. Douglas MacArthur, born on January 26, 1880 and died on April 5, 1964, was an American five-star general and field marshal of the Philippine Army. He was chief of staff of the United States Army during the 1930s and played a prominent role in the Pacific Theater during World War II. He received the Medal of Honor for his service in the Philippines campaign, which made him and his father, Arthur MacArthur Jr., the first father and son to be awarded the medal. He was one of only 5 men ever to rise to the rank of General of the Army in the U.S. Army and the only man ever to become a Field Marshal in the Philippine Army. MacArthur was recalled to active duty in 1941 as commander of United States Army forces in the Far East. A series of disasters followed, starting with the destruction of his air forces on December 8, 1941, and the invasion of the Philippines by the Japanese. MacArthur's forces were soon compelled to withdraw to Bataan, where they held out until May 1942. In March 1942, MacArthur, his family, and his staff left nearby Corregidor Island in PT boats and escaped to Australia, where MacArthur became Supreme Commander, Southwest Pacific Area. For his defense of the Philippines, MacArthur was awarded the Medal of Honor. After more than 2 years of fighting in the Pacific, he fulfilled a promise to return to the Philippines. He officially accepted Japan's surrender on September 2, 1945, aboard the USS Missouri anchored in Tokyo Bay and oversaw the occupation of Japan from 1945 to 1951. As the effective ruler of Japan, he oversaw sweeping economic, political, and social changes. He led the United Nations command in the Korean War until he was removed from command by President Harry S. Truman on April 11, 1951. He later became chairman of the board of Remington Rand. And the last event was in 1979 when Idi Amin Dada was forced to flee into exile by helicopter. Idi Amin Dada was the third president of Uganda, ruling from 1971 to 1979. Amin joined the British Colonial Regiment, the King's African Rifles, in 1946, serving in Kenya and Uganda. By 1978, the number of Amin supporters and close associates had shrunk significantly, and he faced increasing dissent from the populace within Uganda as the economy and infrastructure collapsed from years of neglect and abuse. In January 1979, Nyerere mobilized the Tanzania People's Defense Force and counter-attacked, joined by several groups of Ugandan exiles who had united as the Uganda National Liberation Army, UNLA. Amin's army retreated steadily, and despite military help from Libya's Muammar Gaddafi, he was forced to flee into exile by helicopter on April 11, 1979, when Kampala was captured. He escaped first to Libya, where he stayed until 1980, and ultimately settled in Saudi Arabia, where the Saudi royal family allowed him sanctuary and paid him a generous subsidy to return for his staying out of politics. He lived until his death on August 16, 2003. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on Badruddin Hadi, chief of police candidate. After 6 months without a leader, the Indonesian National Police now have a leader or police chief. Since February 18, President Joko Widodo has proposed to the House of Representatives that Badruddin Hadi to become chief of police. Deputy chief of police Badruddin replaces Budi Gunawan as the candidate for police chief, as Gunawan is suspected by the Corruption Eradication Commission in the case of unnatural count. However, Badruddin Hadi's candidacy received criticism from many members of the House. Because the nomination of Budi Gunawan has been approved by the parliament, just waiting for the inauguration. In addition, pre-trial ruling said that the determination of the suspect on Budi Gunawan is invalid. For this reason, the parliament has answered the nomination of Badruddin Hadi as police chief candidate. House leaders then took the initiative to invite President Joko Widodo to explain the reason for the appointment of Badruddin Hadi. On Monday, April 6, President Joko Widodo came to the House with some of his ministers to fulfill the invitation of the House leadership. The close consultation meeting was held for approximately 3 hours and attended by the entire leadership of the House, faction leaders and leaders of Commission 3 and the House Budget Committee. After the meeting, House Speaker Novanto to the media said that it was a conducive meeting and President managed to give a satisfactory explanation to the Parliament on the cancellation of the inauguration of Budi Gunawan as police chief and replaced him with Badruddin Haiti as police chief candidate. Novanto said the President had explained all with his reason. Faction leaders have also been explained. The mechanism has submitted to the relevant committee, Commission 3 of the House. Chairman of Commission 3 of the House of Representatives, Ajis Samsudin, said all factions had agreed verbally to related proposal of President Jokowi for the police chief candidate. Badruddin Haiti certainly advanced as chief of police. Commission 3 is just waiting for a written statement to handle and prove that all the factions agree on the police chief. After the consultation meeting on Thursday, a parliament member from Commission 1, Tantowi, said one government party faction proposed that Budi Gunawan paired as deputy chief. According to him, the proposal was accepted by all factions in the House. Factions in parliament accept the proposal for the 2 reasons. The first is the status of the suspect is no longer on Budi Gunawan. The second is in order to speed up the process so that the uncertainty and the vacuum of police chief position is immediately filled. Tantowi says the proposal is the solution to prevent the political uproar in the nomination of the chief of police. According to the plan, Badruddin Haiti will undergo fit and proper tests at the House of Representatives on April 15 to 17. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Listener is happy to see you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper publics in Jakarta today on Saturday. Let's start highlighting Kompas newspaper. In this headline, Kompas writes Surya Dharma Ali is arrested. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK arrested a former Minister of Religious Affairs, Surya Dharma Ali, on Friday. He was arrested after May 22, 2014. He was named as a suspect in the implementation of the Hajj corruption case 2012, 2013, and 2010 and 2011. Acting Deputy Chairman of KPK Johan Budi said the detention towards Surya Dharma shows that his investigation file is almost completed. KPK has a maximum of 3 months to immediately transfer the case of Surya Dharma to the Court of Corruption. KPK is now also targeting other suspects besides Surya Dharma in this case. Listener Republika newspaper headlines his headline, DPD Congress turns. Correction Eradication Commission KPK had red-handed a politician of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP, Adriansyah, who comes from South Kalimantan. He is allegedly suspected to accept bribery. On Tuesday night, 9th of April, he was arrested in Sanur, Bali, not far from the location of the ongoing of the 4th Congress of PDIP. Adriansyah is a member of the House of Representatives at Commission 4 of the PDIP, who had served as a regent of Tanah Laut, South Kalimantan. Acting Deputy Chairman of KPK Johan Budi said on Friday, the arrest of Adriansyah was carried out at the Swiss Bell Hotel located in Sanur, Bali, at around 6:45 p.m. on Tuesday. On the same location, KPK also arrested a member of the policeman, First Sergeant Agun Kristianto, who is allegedly to be intermediary. Based on both arrests, KPK says evidence allegedly linked to corruption. The evidence is in the form of thousands of dollars and hundreds of millions of Singapore dollars. Now we conclude the headline written by Media Indonesia newspaper. In its headline, Media Indonesia writes, red and white, fluttering, fact it is not painful. The exploration of Media Indonesia adventure team that explored Mount Tambora has not ended yet. On Tuesday morning, 9th of April, precisely around 7th, o'clock PM Central Indonesian Time, the team also became part of the history of hoisting Indonesian red and white flag at an altitude of around 2,851 meters above sea level. Along with dozens of other climbers, the team flocked a flag measuring 200 times 1 meter from the peak towards the crater rim of the caldera. This moment is regarded as the anniversary of 200 years from 1815-2015 of the devastating eruption at Mount Tambora. A member of the Political Commission of the Indonesian National Youth Committee for Dompur Regency, Isha Nurdiansyah, led the flag raising, who is also acted as the chairman of the event. Isha said that the flag raising was done in two stages. While spreading the two-color flag, all participants consisting of 70 people were solemnly singing the national anthem, Indonesia Raya. For the climbers, the moment was a bonus of tiring trip to the peak of Mount Tambora. Listeners, those were some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Saturday 11 of April 2015. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman has expressed hope that domestic farm products will be able to meet national needs and that the country will no longer need to import farm commodities in the future. He noted that as Tabanan District government had continued to step up the development of its agriculture sector, the district had managed to meet local people's food needs and improve farmers' living standards. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo has admitted that efforts to stabilize rupiah exchange rate were one of the causes of the $3.9 billion decline in the country's foreign exchange reserve in March. Kardaya Warnika, the chief of the House Representative Commission 7th Overseeing Energy and Mineral Resources, asked the East Kalimantan Administration to develop gas pipelines to cities and regency in the province. A series of fuel price hikes has led to economic instability which affects the people. This was stated by Siska Marleni, a member of the Regional Representative Council DPD. She pointed out that fuel price hikes affect to economic instability and burden the public. Jakarta Composite Index GCI weakened slightly on Friday's final trading session on foreign stock market. Players continued to carry out selling action. The GCI weakened by 9.56 points or 0.70% to 5,491.34, while the index of the 45 most liquid stocks was down by 2.67 points or around 0.28% to 957.21. Trade Minister Ahmad Gobel selected to hear the Balinese opinion of banned on Saturday. According to a trade minister regulation issued in January, beverage with alcohol content of 1 to 5% can only be sold in supermarkets and hypermarkets. Following two private water companies, the central government has decided to file an appeal against a central Jakarta district court ruling that the cancel privatization of water in capital city. Central Jakarta District Court spokesperson Bambang Gustopo said on Friday that beside PT Pumped Leonasi Jaya Palija and PT Air Atra Jakarta Aitra, the President, Vice President, Financial Minister and Public Works and Public Housing Minister have also filed an appeal. Indonesian Football Association PSSI has filed a report on the temporary suspension of the Indonesian Super League ISL competition to the World Football Federation FIFA. PSSI Chairman Johar Arifin Usen said that FIFA has asked for the competition to be resumed with 18 clubs as initially proposed. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will invite you to visit Yogyakarta to enjoy the Sarsap Parila beverage while touring. Stay tuned. Listener, Sarsap Parila was the first soft drink in Indonesia, which was quite popular in the 1960s. In the development era, this beverage has disappeared and is difficult to find. Listener, Sarsap Parila can be found in Yogyakarta, and this beverage has brownish purple color. And in the past, this beverage was the favorite beverage of the Yogyakarta nobles, because at that time, this beverage was relatively expensive and only became special drink on certain parties, for example, circumcision or wedding party. This beverage was specially bought for the boy who was circumcised. It aimed to please someone who was holding the party. Besides expensive, this beverage was only for the elite. It was an elite drink which brought social prestige on its consumer. Listener, the taste of Sarsap Parila is not so sweet and has a typical aroma. Also, Sarsap Parila is believed to recover flu symptoms. Because Sarsap Parila is a kind of herbal, which in Latin language is called Smilax Aristolochiae Tollia. This plant contains vitamin A, B, C, D, and B complex. It also contains calcium and iron. Sarsap Parila is also believed to be able to smooth urination, useful drug, provide energy, cure colds, cough, and fever. Listener, now Sarsap Parila has been replaced by other soft drinks. In the past, in Yogyakarta, there were three factories of Sarsap Parila. But now, there is only one factory which survives to produce this rare beverage with interesting packaging. Listener, if you visit Yogyakarta, please taste Sarsap Parila, a favorite drink of Yogyakarta nobles. And that was our segment Indonesian Wonder. Let's meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Ms. Lenny, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the potentials of renewable energy in Indonesia. So stay tuned. Besides, via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Renewable energy is energy derived from sustainable natural processes such as solar power, wind power, water flow, biological processes, and geothermal. Indonesia has a great potential to develop various types of renewable energy. The concept of renewable energy itself began to very popular in the 1970s. In an effort to keep pace with the development of nuclear energy and fossil fuel, the most common definition is the energy source that can be quickly restored back naturally and in a sustainable process. With these definitions, the fuel derived from nuclear and fossils is not included. Unfortunately, Indonesia's technology is still insufficient related to bioenergy power generating plants. Head of the Directorate General of Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Dadan Kusdiana, admitted that Indonesia is still very dependent on technology from abroad from the development of bioenergy. Therefore, he added, the ministry will cooperate with the German Ministry of Energy to increase electricity supply to areas that still lack electricity. This collaboration aims to exploit the potentials of bioenergy in Indonesia as a one-door service program in overcoming technical, economic, and administrative problems related to the development of bioenergy market in Indonesia. There are 8 types of renewable energy sources in Indonesia, which should be developed to meet the energy needs in the country. Actually, Indonesia has various types of renewable energy sources. If utilized and managed properly, it is believed to be able to replace fossil energy. The one that is currently being developed is biofuel. Biofuel can be solid or liquid. With the gas produced from organic materials, the source of biofuels is a plant that has a high sugar content such as sorghum and sugarcane. Also other plants that have a high content of vegetable oils such as castor leaves, algae, and oil palm. Throughout history, various kinds of renewable energy have been used. Wood is the oldest biomass fuel in human history, which is used as a source of thermal energy through combustions even up to the present day. While geothermal is a renewable energy source generated and stored in the earth, it is believed to be quite economical, abundant, sustainable, and environmentally friendly, but its utilization is still constrained due to technology exploitation, which can only reach around the tectonic plate. Even so, Indonesia has built a geothermal power plant in some parts of the country. Among others, geothermal power plants in Sibayak, North Sumatra, Sibayak, Salak, West Java, Dieng, Central Java, and Lahendong, North Sulawesi. There are many other natural resources that can be utilized as a source of renewable energy in Indonesia. Although there are many obstacles, the Indonesian government keeps trying to take advantage of renewable energy utilization without damaging the surrounding environment. In fact, not only Indonesia that has begun to utilize nature to produce energy. Belgium, for instance, has become the first country in the world which has a wind turbine field capable of generating 7.5 megawatt power. Whatever source of energy used to produce renewable energy is a good thing, because we can still preserve the universe while also maintaining the health of the inhabitants of the earth. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which has informed you about the potential of renewable energy in Indonesia. Thank you for listening, and the next edition of Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia. Bye now!
We'll meet again. again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Steve, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or the modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Pandawa Group. So, let's listen to a song entitled Biarku Sendiri, or in English, means Let Me Alone, by Pandawa. Boy listener, you have just listened to the first song by Pandawa entitled Biarku Sendiri, or in English means Let Me Alone. By the way, the name of Pandawa was taken from the puppetry, which means hero. They play pop genre music combined with progressive rock. The lyric of their song tells about love and friendship, which are conveyed in beautiful literature which are very simple and easy listening. Well then, why don't we listen to the next song from Pandawa entitled Andai Saja or If. Enjoy the song.
Pergi berlalu, sirnalah semua yang ku impikan. Kau takkan pernah jadi milikku. Oh, terhenti jejak langkahku saat engkau
Another power of Pandawa band is on the vocalist's vocal character. Mega, the vocalist, is able to sing songs in poem lyrics, but still in male and catchy voice. Unfortunately, there are some Pandawa personnel who have resigned. Now, although Pandawa has only 3 personnel, this band still survives, and it is proven by the release of their 3rd album entitled Cerita Hati or Heart Story. Well, listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, why don't we listen to another 2 songs, entitled Cinta Pertama, or First Song, and Dewi, still from Pandawa. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Sayang ini
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Masih terasa lembut ciumanmu waktu tadi ku apel ke rumahmu. Wangi parfummu membuatku melayang. Kau bisikan kalau kamu sayang aku, sumpah mati aku juga sayang kamu. Aku gak berani bohongin kamu. Asal kamu ingin jujur pada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.